welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. One of the first shows we worked on was Dracula from the Mercury Theater. We had another shot at it in 2008. Here's the conclusion of ART's Dracula with Cole Hornaday as Jonathan Harker, Les Westrum as Van Helsing, Kim Turner as Seward, and Brian Hendrickson as the Count Dracula.
Westminster Gazette, September 25th, A Hampstead Mystery. The Kensington Horror and the Woman in Black are vividly recalled to mind by a series of events that have taken place recently in the neighbourhood of Hampstead. Several cases have occurred of young children straying from home or failing to return from playing on the heath. In all these cases, the children have given as their excuse that they have been with a beautiful lady who offered them chocolates. In each case, the child was found to be slightly torn or wounded in the throat. The wound seemed such as might
extra
be made by a rat
special
or a small dog.
Extra! Special! Hampstead Horror! Read about the beautiful lady! Read about the beautiful lady! Extra! Special! Hampstead Horror! Extra! Special!
The Hampstead Horror. Another child injured by the beautiful lady. We have just received intelligence that another child, missed last night, was only discovered late in the morning. It has the same tiny wound in the throat. Well, Seward, what do you think of that? You mean to tell me, my friend, that you still have no suspicions as to what poor Lucy died of?
Nervous prostration following on great loss or waste of blood.
And how was the blood lost or wasted? You are a clever man, my friend, and a good doctor, but you do not believe that there are things that you cannot understand. You are wrong, Seward. Are you aware of all the mysteries of life and death? Can you tell me why in the Pampas there are bats that come at night and open the veins of cattle and horses and suck dry those veins? How on some islands of the western seas there are bats which hang on the trees all day, and then, when the sailors sleep on deck because it is hot, flit down on them, and then in the morning are found dead men as white as Miss Lucy was.
I understand none of these things.
After tonight, Seward, if you dare to come with me, perhaps you will understand.
September 29th, before dawn. Now it is done, and I would sooner die a thousand deaths than to live again what I did this night.
We will spend the night, you and I, here in this churchyard where Miss Lucy is buried. We enter the tomb.
And then?
We open the coffin. You shall yet be...
Take care, Van Helsing.
Miss Lucy is dead. Is it not so? Then there can be no wrong to her. But if she's not dead...
With some difficulty, we found the Western Rock tomb. I took up my place behind a yew tree on one side of the tomb, Van Helsing on the other. I was chilled and frightened. Suddenly, I saw something moving between two yew trees. A dim white figure which held something at its breast. The figure stopped. I could not see the face, for it was bent down over what I saw to be a fair-haired child. There was a sharp little cry, such as a child gives in sleep, or a dog as it lies before the fire and dreams. Then the thing saw us. She drew back with an angry snarl. Her lovely, blood-stained mouth grew to an open square. If ever a face meant death, I saw it at that moment. Then suddenly... She turned and vanished in the direction of the tomb.
The child is not harmed. We leave him in a safe place where the police find him. There's more to do. Come.
Now we're in the tomb. There in the coffin, the thing lay. like a nightmare of Lucy. The pointed teeth, the blood-stained mouth. Van Helsing never looked up. From his bag he took out a book, his operating knife, a heavy hammer, and a round wooden stake, 2 or 3 inches thick, sharpened to a fine point and hardened over a fire.
Seward, the life of this unhappy woman has just begun. Then she becomes what you called undead. There comes the change, the curse of immortality. She cannot die, but must go on age after age, adding new victims, because all that die from the preying of the undead become themselves undead and prey on others. So the circle goes on, ever widening, as of the ripples from a stone thrown into the water. But if this lady, this undead, be made to rest as true dead, then the soul of the poor lady whom we love should be again free.
Tell me, what am I to do?
Take this stake in your left hand, the hammer in your right.
Yes.
Place the point over the heart.
Here?
Then I begin the prayer for the dead. In God's name, strike.
Oh.
Are you ready? Now, Domine de Santes.
No! Morning of July 11th, a man was found on the border of Transylvania. He talked wildly of wolves and boxes of earth and blood. He gave his name as Jonathan Harker. In a hospital at Klausenburg, he improved sufficiently to make possible his removal to England. I'm still quoting from my own personal papers. But then his condition remained so serious that he was committed for observation to a private ward in my hospital at Purfleet. Here he did so well that in 3 weeks he was completely recovered. It was during this time that his wife, Mina Harker, brought to the attention of Dr. Van Helsing and myself the journal that her husband had kept while the prisoner in the castle of a certain Count Dracula in Transylvania. I have before me the record of a meeting that took place in my study in Purfleet, transcribed by Mina Harker.
October 1st. Meeting again, 8:10. Jonathan next to me, Dr. Seward afterwards, and Dr. Van Helsing at the head of the table.
My friends, there are such things as vampires. Had I known at first what now I know, one so precious a life would have been spared for the many of us who loved her. The vampire, which is amongst us, is himself so strong that he can direct all the elements, the storm, the fog, the thunder. He can command all the meaner things, the moth and bat, the owl, the fox and the wolf. How then are we to begin our stride to destroy him? How shall we find his place? And having found it, how can we destroy? My friends, it is a terrible task that we undertake. To fail here is not mere life or death. If we fail, we become as him, foul things of the night, as him. What do you say?
I answer for myself.
Come near.
I'm with you.
The professor laid a small golden crucifix on the table. We took hands and our solemn pact was made.
My friends, we too are not without strength. The vampire flourishes on the blood of the living. Without this he cannot live. He throws no shadow. He makes no reflection in a mirror. He can transform himself to a wolf, to a bat. He can come on moonlight rays as elemental dust. He can see in the dark. He can do all these things, yet he is not free. His power ceases at the coming of the day. Then, until night, he must remain in the shape in which he finds himself, and, except in his coffin home, in those earth boxes, he cannot rest. Then we can confine him in his coffin, then, my friends, if we obey what we know, we will destroy him.
At that moment, something slapped wildly against the window. Then...
Did you hit it?
I don't know.
We looked out of the window against the black sky. You could see nothing.
From the Count's castle in Transylvania to Whitby came 50 boxes of earth. All of these, to our certain knowledge, were delivered at Carfax. Recently, 12 of these boxes have been removed. First step, ascertain whether all the rest remain in the deserted house next door or whether anyone has been removed. We must break each of the boxes and sterilize the earth with holy water so he can no longer seek safety in it. And we must hurry.
The events of the next few days are described in Jonathan Harker's journal.
October 2nd, 5 a.m. Just returned from the empty house. Left Mina here at home. Well, we've done our work at Carfax. The place was filthy, the air stagnant and foul and alive with rats. We counted the boxes, only 38 of them. And over each one, the professor went through the same mysterious work. It was dawn when we got back. I found Mina asleep. She looks paler than usual.
October 2nd. Soon after they left, I fell asleep. I remember hearing the sudden barking of the dogs, and then it was silent. I got up and looked out of the window. There was a thin streak of white mist moving across the grass along the wall of the house. It dawned on me that the air in the room was heavy and dank and cold. The gaslight came only like a tiny red spark in the fog. I could see through my eyelids. The mist grew thicker and thicker. Then as I looked, the spark divided and seemed to shine on me through the fog like two red eyes.
You shall be flesh of my flesh. Blood of my blood. Blood of my blood.
October 2nd, 8 p.m. We are on the track. 12 boxes were delivered to an empty house at 337 Piccadilly.
My dear friends, until the sun sets tonight, Dracula must retain whatever form he now has. We have this day to hunt out all his lairs and sterilize them. Then he will have no place he can hide and move. But we have only until sunset.
The house in Piccadilly was empty. Like the one at Purfleet, the same sickening smell is in the air. On the table we found a clothes brush, a brush and a comb, and a basin, the latter containing dirty water, which was reddened as if with blood.
The boxes are back here. 8, 9, 10, 11.
Only 11?
There's a 12th box somewhere.
Gentlemen, it is after 6. The sun is setting. We've no time to lose. He will return at any moment. Open the boxes.
Quiet.
Listen. Here it is. It is the
window!
You waste your bullets, gentlemen. You think you baffle me? You with your pale faces on the row like sheep in a butcher's. You think you have left me without a place to rest? But I have more, and time is on my side. The one you love is mine already. I have known her. Already my mark is on her throat. Flesh of my flesh, blood of my blood. She is with me always, over land or sea.
October 4th, morning. Another meeting in the study at Purfleet.
Gentlemen, we must find it. As long as that earth exists, I'm sure as long as there remains one place of refuge for Dracula, there is no safety and no peace for any soul in England.
And for the undead, never peace, so long as he lives. Blood of my blood. Blood of my...
Mina! How do you know that?
Quiet! Quiet!
With me. With me. Always. Over land and sea.
Mina, darling, How do you know that Dracula said those...
I don't know. The words just came. Strange. There are times when somehow I feel that I'm with him.
At sunset?
Yes, just as sun sets and again at sunrise. Dr. Van Helsing, if I could... If at those times you...
Have you courage?
Courage for what? What do you mean?
Dr. Van Helsing here will question me.
I will question her, yes. In a state of hypnosis. The one you love is already mine, he said. She is with me always, over land or sea. Ah, Count Dracula, perhaps she will betray you if she is really with you. This one we love. Who knows if she is really with you over land or sea?
Blood of my blood.
Mina?
Yes.
Answer me, Mina. Are you with him?
Yes, I am with him.
Where are you?
I do not know. It is all dark.
What do you hear?
The lapping of water. I can hear it on the outside.
Then you are on a ship?
Yes.
What else do you hear?
There is the creaking of an anchor chain.
What are you doing?
Still. Oh, so still. It is like death. It is like death.
Here is a report from the Matson Peabody Shipbrokers, dated October 5th. According to Lloyd's list, the only sailing ship that left for the Black Sea yesterday was the Tsarina Katrina, bound for Varna. Somehow, before she sailed, a man came alongside, all in black, driving a cart with a great box in it. This he lifted down single-handed and carried below. No one remembers having seen him after that. A heavy mist came up over Doolittle Dock until sailing time. The rest of London Harbor remained completely clear.
Our plans are made. The average sailing time from London to the Black Sea is 3 weeks. We can travel overland to the same place in 3 days. We shall be there waiting for him when he arrives.
October 15th. Arrived Varna about 5 o'clock. Mina feels stronger. Every morning before sunrise and just before sunset, she speaks to Van Helsing in a trance.
Are you with him, Mina? Tell me, are you with him?
I am with him.
What can you see?
Nothing. All is dark.
What can you hear?
I can hear the waves lapping against the ship and the water rushing by. The wind is high. I can hear it in the shrouds and the sea foam.
So the Tsarina Katrina is still at sea, hastily to Varna. The Count cannot cross running water, so he cannot leave the ship without being observed.
What do you hear, Mina?
Lapping waves and rushing water. Darkness. Darkness.
A whole week of waiting. Dated telegram from Lloyd.
Not yet reported.
Not yet reported.
Not yet reported.
Not yet reported.
Rushing water. Rushing water. Creeping mist. Darkness. Darkness and wind.
October 24th, telegram. Lloyd's, London to Harker. Tsarina Katrina, reported this morning from Dardanelles.
Lloyd's, London to Harker, October 28th. Tsarina Katrina in heavy fog, reported entering Galatz Harbor at 1 o'clock today.
Galatz. Galatz is 38 hours from here, and the first train for Galatz leaves at 6:30 tomorrow morning. My friends, we have lost...
Men's voices calling in the roar and the prick of the wind. I can feel the air blowing.
October 29th, evening. We are due between 2 and 3 in the morning, but already at Bucharest we are 3 hours late.
What's going on? I feel something pass me like a cold wind. I can hear far-off, confused sounds as of men talking in strange tongues. Fierce falling water and the howling of the wolves. There's another sound. How queer a sound, like?
Like what? Speak, Nina, speak. I command you. I command you to speak.
Arrived in Galatz, saw the captain of the Tsarina Katrina.
Welcome aboard. We are over an hour before sunup. We receive a box from a party by the name of Dracula. Had his papers, all right. Manuel Ildesheim, his name was.
Mr. Hildesheim?
Yes.
You unloaded a box yesterday?
I got from Kailov by order. Kailov.
Mr. Kailov?
Oh, no. I find him dead this morning inside the churchyard of St. Peter. I find him dead. His throat torn open.
October 30th, evening.
There are two ways in which Dracula can get back to his own place, by land or by water.
We've examined the map and found the most likely river is the Sereth.
You and I, Seward, will charter a steam launch and follow him up the river. Van Helsing and Mina will take a train to Varesti, and From there,
we shall go in the tract where Harker went to Bisitra over Borgo. If you have not caught him before, we shall be meeting Dracula there.
October 31st. We arrived at Varesti at noon. Von Helsing and I brought the carriage here. We start in an hour. Our enemy is still on the river.
October 31st. We can earn good speed up the river at night. There's plenty of water, and the banks are wide apart.
November 1st. Evening. No news all day. We hear that a big boat went up the river before us, going at more than usual speed.
November 4th. All day driving. The country gets wilder as we go. By morning, we should reach the Borgo Pass.
November 4th. Evening. We have left the launch. We've got horses and we follow on the track along the river. We are armed.
Look! Quick! There they are now, heading west.
Through the dawn, we could see the Slovaks some miles before us, dashing along the river with their wagon. On it is a great box.
Late in the afternoon, we leave Borgo Pass.
Van Helsing, look!
We could see a long way all around, far beyond the white wash of snow, like a black ribbon curling between us and the river. Not far off came a group of men mounted, Slovaks, riding along. In the midst of them was a wagon, that swept from side to side. On the wagon was a great box.
Look!
We see two horses, following fast, coming up from the south. Seward and Harker, the Slovaks with the heavy wagons are losing the ground. Now they must be not more than a mile behind. Now the wagon is quite closer. We can see the great box laying bravely. Now they are almost upon us. Now has happened a strange thing. The wagon smashed into a great rock, buried in the snow, lost its front wheels, and turned over on its side, jammed against the rock. The horses tore loose from the traces and bolted, and the Slovaks scattered and vanished after them. Then, silence.
Look, his face.
It is Dracula, sprawled out stiff and twisted in the smear of his own holy earth. The box, in falling, has emptied the dirt onto the snow. His face is old-looking. The skin is like paper. Dr. Seward, there is no time. Look at the sun.
Sunset.
In 1 minute, it is sunset, and he is forever lost to us. Have you the stake of wood and the hammer?
Yes.
Now, Seward, pray for us. Kneel down and pray. Harker, the stake of wood over his heart. Be not afraid, Harker. Do not look into his eyes. The hammer. Now, Harker, strike. Strike.
Flesh, flesh of my flesh, guilt of my guilt, death of my death. speak and be manifest in the instant of your master's peril. Elements of darkness, rain, evil wind, slice and mold and tempests.
The others couldn't, but somehow I can hear him speaking behind his eyes.
Claw, wing, tooth, scale, tissue of flesh, death of my death, dead and undead. The hand of the living is over your master. Console me, my children. This instant is no longer than the space between two heartbeats. But the night is not here, and I am lonely. Come to your master, my children. Beguile him now in the instant of his peril. Beguile him with the sound of your name. Claw, wing, tooth, scale, tissue of flesh. There is one very dear to me who has not answered. My love, Mina. There is less than a minute between me and the night. You must speak for me. You must speak with my heart.
Give them to me. Jonathan, give them to me. Give me the stick of wood and the hammer.
Halker.
I shall never forget that moment. The look on poor Mina's face as she stood there. The angry scar standing out on her throat. Her eyes like living coals in the red of the sunset. She had torn the stake and hammer out of my hands with the strength of an animal.
Mina. Do you know what you have done, woman? Do you know what you have done to us? You have released him. The evil is free.
Look, the sun!
As we looked down at Dracula, his eyes saw the sinking sun, and the hate in them turned to triumph.
Come to me, my love. Come into the night and the darkness. You have served me well, my love, my bride, my...
Ladies and gentlemen, all the evidence is now before you. I've added nothing, and to the best of my knowledge, I have omitted nothing that might help to throw light upon the extraordinary events of the year 1891, which culminated on that terrible evening in the Borgo Pass. There remains only this one last report.
Then Mina Harker seized the stake and hammer from her husband. I believe she was under some form of hypnosis. She herself remembers nothing, but whatever influence was at work on her, she must at the last moment have rejected it. For at the exact instant the sun disappeared, it was Mina Harker who drove the stake through the heart of the thing that called itself Dracula. At that same instant, even as we looked, the wound on the side of her throat was no more. As for Dracula, before the screams of the creature had died from our ears, the whole body crumbled into dust and passed from our sight. In the final moment of the solution, there was in the face a look of peace, such as I could never have imagined might have rested there.
You've been listening to a recreation by the American Radio Theater of Orson Welles' Dracula. In our cast, you heard Brian Hendrickson as Count Dracula, Cole Hornaday as Jonathan Harker, Julie Hoverson as Mina, Kim Turner as Seward, and Les Westrom as Van Helsing. Also in the cast, Richard Haviland, Renaud Leboeuf, Melinda Maines, Pat McNally, Greg Porter, Tom Probst, and Penny Swanberg, directed by Paul Favel. Live sound effects by Penny Swanberg and Pat McNally. Music by Kevin MacLeod at www.incompetech.com. Post-production by Greg Forchler and Joy Jackson. This version of Dracula was originally composed and broadcast on July 11, 1938 on the Mercury Theater on the Air, with Orson Welles in the title role. I'm Joy Jackson. This is ART, American Radio Theater. Let's have a listen to some music from the days of old-time radio.
And here are America's sweethearts, Laura Leslie and Don Cornell, with a wee bit on coffin.
When I went romancing, I gave no thought to any wedding ring. Everybody, lassie, was my healing. slain.
No glance I was glancing, well, nothing really worth the mentioning. Open watching, waiting for the real, real thing.
Though I danced each girl in a twist and twirl, may one would do.
Till it came to pass to this lucky lap, in the fling I was flung with you.
Oh, now my heart is prancing.
Nothing about you I'd be altering.
The years I'll weather
in the hay or on the heather
with my one and only healing fling. I thought you were fallen for Andy McPherson.
Nay, nay, he became an impossible person. But what about you and that Connie McKenzie?
Well, she talked when I putted and drove me to frenzy. But what of the lad known as Bobby McDougal?
It pays to be sippy, but he was too frugal. And where did you dash about Maggie McDermott?
Hey, I tasted his cooking, 'twould make me a hermit. How jealous I was of McDonald McCluckin.
His neck had a head on, but wasn't much in it.
And what about Sandy?
His hands were too handy. And wasn't that Jenny?
I nay wasn't any.
Nay
wasn't any. Now my heart is prancing.
Nothing about you I'd be altering.
Fears I'll weather in the hay or on the heather with my one and only healing thing.
A couple of years ago, a shy young man came up to the bandstand while we were playing at Eastwood Gardens in Detroit and asked for a job as an arranger. I told him to bring me a sample of his work, and the next morning he came around with this one. It's been a favorite in my collection of dusty manuscripts ever since. Jerry Carr's arrangement of Blue Skies. And, by the way, he got the job. Chrysler spotlight shines on Tony Alamo.
I don't know why I love you like I do. I don't know why, but I do. I don't know why you thrill me like you do. I don't know why you just do. You never seem to want my romance. The only time you hold me is when we're dancing. I don't know why I love you like I do. I don't know why I just do. Thank you.
Tony Alamo seems to be having a little trouble. While digging divots one Sunday afternoon with a golfer named Perry Como, just by coincidence, the subject of music came up, and Perry suggested that a song called Forever and Ever might sound nice if the K-Choir sang it. Well, let's see if Mr. Como is right.
Forever and ever, our hearts will be true. Sweetheart, forever, I'll wait for you. We both made a promise that we'd never part. Let's seal it with a kiss forever, my sweetheart. Let bygones be bygones.
You know, this time of the year, all of us are thinking about getting away from it all for a couple of weeks. Well, we might suggest that the best way is in a beautiful new Chrysler with that easy center control steering. Meantime, here's a vacation spot you can dream about. Don Cornell, the choir, and the cadets sing the Chrysler Song of the Week.
Valley High may call you any night, any day. In your heart, you'll hear it call you. Come away, come away. Valley High will whisper on the wind. Here am I, your special island. Come to me, come to me. Your own special home, your own special dream. Bloom on the hillside and shine. The stream. If you try, you'll find me where the sky meets the sea. Here am I, your special island. Come to me, come to me. Valley High, Valley High. Valley High. Someday you'll see me floating in the sunshine, my head sticking out from a low flying cloud.
bright and clear as can be.
Idea for a lazy summer day.
Cruising down the river on a Sunday afternoon, with one you love, the sun above, waiting for the moon. The old accordion playing a sentimental tune. Down the river on a Sunday afternoon,
the birds above all sing of love, a gentle sweet refrain. The winds around all make a sound like softly falling rain.
The two of us together will plan a honeymoon. Down the river on a Sunday afternoon.
Nothing she likes to do better than to get into that beautiful new Chrysler and drive and drive and drive. Well, Laura, we can arrange that later, but first, come up here and sing, please.
The stars look down, they seem to say, maybe love is on its way. I'm having a wonderful week. Time you were here, the town's awake, and so am I, in no mood to justify. I'm having a wonderful wish, la da da da, time you were here. Couples on the corner laughing, loving, make me feel so alone. I'd really like to do some loving in a season all my own. Why must they keep the moon so bright? I won't sleep a wink tonight. I'm having a wonderful wish. I've been waiting so long, time you were here. Time you were here. Why must they keep the moon so bright? I won't sleep a wink tonight. I'm having a wonderful wish. I've been waiting so long. Time you were here.
Husky Don Cornell is from New York City. And New York ain't exactly cow country, partner. But he's gotten that western spirit from somewhere, because he's moseying up to the microphone now with the K Choir to sing that great cowboy ballad.
That old cowpoke went riding out one dark and windy day. Upon a ridge he rested as he went along his way. When all at once a mighty herd of red-eyed cows he saw, a plowing through the ragged sky, and of a cloudy draw. Yippee-i-yay, yippee-i-yo, a ghost herd in the sky. Their brand was still on fire and their hoof was made of steel. Their horns was black and shiny and their hot breath he could feel. A bolt of fear went through him as they thundered through the sky. For he saw the riders coming hard and he heard their mournful cry. Yippee-i-yay! Riders roped on by him, he heard one call his name. If you want to save your soul from hell, riding on the rain, then cowboy, change your ways today, or with us you will ride. They're trying to catch the devil's herd across these endless skies. Yippee-i-yay!
Here's a tune that always seems to make them cuddle a little closer. It's from our collection of dusty manuscripts, Sentimental Journey. Thank you.
Our Tony Alamo has a way with a song that's as smooth as a ride in the beautiful new Chrysler. That Trust-O-Matic Blue Drive transmission.
Well, the moon swings low on the Alamo in a garden fair where roses grow in the tender light of the summer night. I can see her wander to and fro, for she said, "I'll wait by the garden gate on the night I said I love you so." And in all my dreams it seems I go
seem to be running into competition from chocolate drops as they sing.
Candy kisses wrapped in paper mean more to you than any of mine. Candy kisses wrapped in paper you'd rather have than any old time. You don't mean it when you sweet love words in my ear. Candy kisses wrapped in paper mean more to you than mine do, dear.
Summertime brings long vacation trips that can be a lot more comfortable in a new Chrysler with that Prestomatic fluid drive transmission. And summer also brings us Tony Alamo's version of his latest Victor record.
It's summertime again, and grass is wet with dew, and the stars are bright like they were that night when we both said, "I love you." It's summertime again,
When will I kiss you, darling? I miss you. It's summer time again.
Time for today. Please check out our website, www.americanradiotheater.org, and have a listen to some of our podcasts. You know, we put up a new one every month. For 12 hours of old-time radio listening, stop by radioatofthepast.org for their next marathon in the Fred Bertelsen Room. That's going to be on August 15, 9 a.m. Pacific. That's noon Eastern. Until 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern. Thanks. See you there.